Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. If we all knew exactly how long we were going to live, then we could easily plan for it. The truth is, we just don't know when we're going to go, which makes estate planning something we all need to consider at many stages of life. But how do you have this difficult conversation with yourself or your family? Well, tonight we're going to help you with that. My guests are Rhonda Green, funeral planner and author of the book, My Exit Plan, Getting My House in Order, and the Honorable Sarita Lee. She is the Prince George's County Register of Wills. Lines are open if you have a comment or question about estate planning, funerals, wills, all of that stuff. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Ladies, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us here this evening.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Rhonda, why is this such a difficult thing to talk about?
It's important because so many people leave here and they leave a hot mess behind. Mm. And the hot mess is they did not have a will. They did not, they did not have a plan. Let me just say that. They did not have a plan. And the plan should include a will. It should include their power of attorney. It should include a paid on death on your bank account. A lot of people don't think about that. And so when you don't have a plan, it just creates a hot mess.
Talk to me about that hot mess. What is the hot mess when there isn't a plan?
The hot mess is you leave behind children. You don't say what you want to leave for your children. You have a girlfriend. You have an ex-wife. You don't clearly explain what is supposed to go to whom. And they wind up fighting. So that's a part of the big mess. They show up at the church for the funeral and they just can't get it together. So you just, that's the big mess. That's the big mess.
Mm-hmm. Explain to me, Sarita, for those people who don't understand what a register of wills is, because you may think, well, you just call Sarita and just give her your will. But really, your job is extremely complex and quite honestly, one of the most important officer of the court positions in this county or any county for that matter.
As the register, I oversee the administration of the probate process. As you know, Prince George's County is a large county. We handle over 3,000 estates per year. We see an average of over 35 families per day in my office. And as Rhonda said, when families don't have a plan or the individual didn't put anything in writing, that causes so much havoc in the families. As she said earlier, they don't designate a beneficiary on the bank accounts or life insurance policies, and that's when they come to my office and they all want to know, when do I get my money? Or mom said I could have this, or dad said I could have this. So I always say, put it in writing to make it legal. Doesn't mean it can't be contested, but it stands a better chance of your will being upheld. And also, when you have a bank account, designate a beneficiary. It makes it much easier than it's not a part of the probate process. So again, overseeing the administration of the states and making sure your wishes are carried out.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we are talking about estate planning beyond your last will and testament. If you have a question or a comment about estate planning, wills, even funerals, give us a call again at 202-319-7810. So, Rhonda, at what age should someone first start considering that afterlife planning?
I would say at the age of 18, because
really?
At that point, mm-hmm. you're responsible for yourself. And a lot of people think that, well, hell, heck, I'm only 18, I'm not going to die. And I bury people every day from birth through old age. But at young adults, you know, we have this issue with our millennials now. They don't know anything about estate planning. They don't even know that they need to have life insurance. And if they do have life insurance, they don't know that they should designate a beneficiary. Mm-hmm. Just recently, I had a young man to pass away. He had $250,000 worth of life insurance. His job never told him he needed to have a beneficiary. So I had to go to the Honorable Sarita Lee, and we had to file his estate because the money went to his estate. They could not use the money to bury him. And so this is stuff that children, young adults, and our middle-aged adults don't know. So to answer your question, I'd say 18, mm-hmm. you at least start that processing. You need to have insurance. You need to have a will. You need to know what it is you want.
Mm-hmm. And about that, because, I mean, I know you spoke about the millennials, but the truth of the matter is, even before we were using those terms, I remember when I was in my 20s and working, I had no estate to plan. I didn't own anything.
Let me stop you with that.
So, yeah, please.
You do own something. You had a car, probably. If you barely had an apartment, you had furniture in it.
I barely had a car in my 20s.
But see, that's when I stop people when they say, oh, I don't have anything. Yes, you do. That vehicle you drive, the furniture in your apartment or your home, your clothes. You know, these are things you need to think about. So don't say you don't have anything. You might have designer watches or designer jeans. Who would you want to inherit those things? Specific things you want someone to have. And you asked the question about what age? 18, mm-hmm. of course, is a good age to start. But then another thing is we talk about the millennials. But when a person does a will, you need to make sure they have sound mind.
How do you determine that someone is of sound mind?
That's a good question, because family members can tell when something is going on with the individual family member. And then you have doctors or nurses to say, you know, we can test this person to see if they have early stages of dementia or Alzheimer's. So this is very important.
But I don't want to get too much down into the weeds, but I know there are a whole lot of family members where they say, well, that person, you know, Uncle Ted is crazy.
It's crazy.
But there's nothing, wrong with Uncle Ted. You just don't like Uncle Ted. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, would that have to be a specific medical diagnosis of, as you say, mental incapacity?
Usually, you know, the family can tell, and then sometimes, depending on what's going on, a doctor or nurse can, you know, examine the person. There are tests they can be given them, because someone might come to my office and say, you know, mom's at early stages of dementia. I think we need to do a will. Then I'd say, well, you know, is she capable of doing the will? Can she speak clearly? Is she of sound mind? And so these are things that family members need to monitor. Mm-hmm. With the family members.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Of course, we are talking about estate planning, wills, even funerals, what you need to do now before you go. Angela, calling from Maryland. Angela, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening to everyone. Very quickly, I reside in the state of Maryland. My late mother will have been passed in 2 weeks, a full year. We both share the deed, but I am trying to acquire her loan. The mortgage is with a very undesirable bank that has had nefarious banking practices. So I'm just trying to figure out what do I need to do to ease gracefully into picking up her loan. Again, she's been deceased 2 weeks now for almost a year. And I have been paying the mortgage. So I did that on purpose to establish that I'm able to pay the mortgage by myself.
Angela, that's a good question, because depending on the mortgage company, you may not be able to assume that without letting them know that mom is deceased. And it's almost like starting over again with you applying for that loan. So some loan companies are very different in their rules. So I would say talk to the person, the legal department within that mortgage company.
And to piggyback on that, because I think this is a clear point, it sounds to me as if there has been no designation for her to take over the loan mm-hmm. or the home. What can you do to prevent the kind of situation that Angela is in now before the the family member passes?
That could be how the deed is set up.
Okay.
And sometimes I would caution individuals to do that. Say, for example, if, and not Angela in this case, because I don't know Angela, mm-hmm. but suppose you have a home and you want to leave it to your son or daughter. Maybe they're in their early 30s and they're not financial stable. If you add their name to the deed and they file bankruptcy, then there's a lien on your home and you're still living. So I would say talk to maybe a real estate attorney to see the best thing to do. And Angela, in your case, you might have to go that route because it varies with the mortgage company. But back to your question, it's something you really need to think about before you add someone else's name to the deed.
Mm-hmm.
Know your family.
I'm not trying to add anyone else to the deed. It was just my mother and myself. I don't have any children, and I'm not married. It's just me. Just me. And again, I'm with a bank that has had really nefarious mortgage practices, especially with people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm going to get some pushback, even though I have made on-time payments with this mortgage.
Let me stop you, Angela, right there, because this goes back to... What? First of all, was there a will?
There was no will.
What happens? And that was really my next question. You have no brothers or sisters?
I have a brother. He resides in Baltimore. He does not want the house. He has his own house. No one in the family wants the house. They're fine with me having the house. There's no argument, no dispute.
Okay, so let me stop you there. So what happens if there is no will? Because I think that is really the crux of this conversation.
So, Angela, was this in Prince George's County?
Yes.
Okay, then eventually you would have to come to my office to open up an estate. If that home is in mom's name only, is that the case?
The deed is in both of our names.
So she's on the deed.
So, okay.
Yes.
Is it tenants in common, or how is it set up?
Now, what does that mean?
She would be the survivor. It would go to her.
Okay.
So, Angela.
I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead.
I'm not going to ask you online the name of the mortgage company. No, I don't want you to tell me online the name of the mortgage company. But if you can call my office tomorrow, ask for me.
What's the phone number?
The main number, 301-952-3250. Ask to speak to me, and we can talk more about this.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Angela. But before I go back to the next call, that is the biggest issue. If there is no will, what happens?
If there's no will, when a person's passed away, anything that's in a deceased name only is a part of the probate process.
And what does that mean?
That means they come into the office to open up an estate, to get anything changed over to maybe, say, in Angela's case, if she wants the home in her name only, she comes to my office. But in her case, she said both names were on the deed. But depends. Say, for example, if mom had a car,
mm-hmm.
just her name. Before she could change the title or sell that vehicle, she would have to come to my office to open up an estate. Then she would receive the letter of administration that then gives her the authority to go to MBA to change the title.
Mm-hmm.
Or if mom had a bank account with no beneficiary, same thing, that letter she would take to the bank to access the money.
Interesting. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Connie, calling from Waldorf. Quickly, Connie, what's on your mind?
Hi, how are you all today? Thank you for this conversation. It's very
sure.
interesting. So for one thing, I've learned a lot about this because of the type of work that I do. And then the other one is that you are the cost of this, the cost of setting up all of this. It's to get the will, the trust, the living will, and everything else that affiliated with it. It can be very expensive, and I don't think people talk about that as well, or provide a place where someone can go to get these things done for them at a nominal cost. But it can be very expensive because sometimes you have to get an attorney, you want to make sure things are correct. And then to register at the, there's a small cost to register because mine is registered. And then periodically I had to pull mine because now my children are older. When they were younger, I had to, I had my sister as my executive of my estate because I own property, cars, and different things. So now that they've gotten over, I've had to make some changes, and it's gotten a little expensive to make those changes. So is there anywhere that you can just go to for those who can't afford to make those changes with an attorney?
Before we get that question answered, I need to take a break. But, Connie, I need you to stay on the line. Also, Joyce in Maryland, we're going to talk to you. Lynn calling from Baltimore, we are also going to talk to you. So please stay with us. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. But this conversation continues on Sirius XM. And by the way, please keep calling. We will be taking your phone calls even after 7:30, of course, at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back on SiriusXM in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about estate planning beyond your last will and testament. My guests are Rhonda Green, funeral planner and author of the book My Exit Plan, Getting My House in Order, and the Honorable Sarita Lee. She is the Prince George's County Register of Wills. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise that we will get to you. Let's break this down, Rhonda, because death is expensive.
Okay? Yes, it is expensive.
So how, for those who may be of modest or even limited means, and she's right, Connie is right, when people say attorney, or attorneys, that S is usually a dollar sign on the end. Where do you go when you need help and you don't have the money to take to do these things?
There's several organizations that, for instance, we just had a symposium, an exit plan symposium, and I had attorneys there at the symposium. They were willing to help people with their wills and the power of attorney and so forth. So you have to look for these types of events that are happening in the community. You can go to legal aid. They will also help you with wills. And it's not as expensive as you think it is. A lot of people think that you have to have this long, drawn-out will. But unless you have multiple properties, multiple bank accounts, Sarita, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can actually draw something up yourself, have someone look it over, and then have it notarized, have witnesses, and submit that as a will if your property is limited.
Let me say something, a couple of things. First of all, when you do the will, you must have two witnesses witness your signature. Otherwise, it would definitely be contested. And something the young lady said earlier, it only costs $5 to register your will. That's a one-time fee unless you update it, which is called a codicil. And there are other organizations like AARP or Prepaid Legal. Or if you are a member of a union, they will sometimes do it at a discount for you. So these are definitely different opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And to that point, when you were talking about, for example, just the will, everyone knows the pop culture stories about Howard Hughes writing his will on a table napkin. Definitely don't write your will on a table napkin.
No, definitely don't do that.
May I say something, please?
Yeah, go right, real quick.
I do know that, you know, in my case, I did have to have an attorney because I have several properties, I have three children, you know, and I have things, so I did, and I have several bank accounts, you know, different things, financial things. So, unfortunately, I did have to spend the money, it's not unfortunately, but I did have to spend the money to create the original will. But from that point, I did learn how to make the adjustments because as my children were getting older, I pulled it from the registrar's office from the where the county that I live in, and I made the adjustments myself because I learned how to do that.
Okay. Well, good for you.
But
Well, thank you, Connie. Thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Joyce calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Joyce. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
And thanks for the conversation. My question was almost answered when you all were talking with Angela, because my question was, I have a home and it's not paid for, but I wanted to know, in the event if something should happen to my husband and myself, we wanted to leave the home to my daughter. And when you were talking to Angela, I pretty much got the gist of what I would have to do. And
so you're asking what you would have to do to leave it to your daughter if something happens to you and your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is I recently found out from one of my attorneys that you can actually put a beneficiary on your deed. Now, a lot of people go out and try to do a quick deed and add their name to the house and so forth. And I was told that that was not good to do. But you would want to consult an attorney to make sure that whatever you plan to do is, one, legal, and then, two, it's going to be to your benefit. But if you and it's you and your husband, if the house is deeded in both of you all's name, you could either leave it in your will as to who you want to will the house to, or you could put a beneficiary on the deed. And that should cover you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call, Joyce. Lynn, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Lynn. What's on your mind?
Yes, I want to thank you so much for doing this show.
Sure.
When I went through it back in 2005 and 2006, I had no help. I kind of went through it like the blind. My deceased cousin, he passed away, and I was actually out of town at the time. And when I got, by the time I found out, they had already taken the house, the mortgage company. They had already been in there and removed all the belongings out of the house. And I actually went and filed for administrator of the estate. But the particular mortgage company completely ignored me and ran roughshod over me as, you know, next of kin.
So let me ask you, Lynn, what's your question?
Well, I guess I just wanted to basically, say that I'm pretty much glad that you guys are doing the show, because some people are not fortunate enough to get the help. And if you don't get the help, you could end up losing the house. And when I went through it, they didn't have any laws that precluded mortgage companies from foreclosing on the deceased. So you're a great shout out for what you're doing, because some people, you know, back in the olden days before they had the laws, didn't get any help, and we ended up losing the house. I guess it just kind of basically made
But you said you went through this in 2004?
Yeah, I went through it in 2000. He passed away in 2004, but I didn't get back in town from California until 2005. And by the time I found out, they had already been in the house. And
I see. So let me ask Sarita Lee about this. If you pass away, and did your cousin have a will?
No.
Okay. Okay. So talk to me about what she's referring to. If someone doesn't, you know, perhaps have a will, and whether the house is paid for or not, can mortgage companies just come in like that?
They can. It depends on the mortgage company. In her case, it was months or even a year before she was involved with this. And if it was the cousin's name, the only name on that deed, yes, if there was no one making a payment.
And he was paid up. He didn't die before the foreclosure. He died before the foreclosure. So they foreclosed on him when he was dead.
The house wasn't paid for.
Paid up when he died. So that wasn't the case. They just was, like that lady said before, they were predatory, awful.
But hold on, let me stop you, Lynn. So you're saying that the house was not paid for, correct?
Well, he had made the misfortune, like a lot of people do. He took out a loan on my aunt.
So the house was not paid for. Yes, that's the answer. The house was not paid for. He died.
Yes, they can come in. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Predatory or not.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not there.
Yes.
No bills are being paid.
Yes. They don't know that someone is going to come in and take over that payment. And obviously you were not that person. Did he have any other relatives other than you?
Well, he didn't have any other relatives. He was, you know, older person. But I did try to go down to the court and tried to take over. And I was completely ignored and ran roughshod over, because by the time I got involved, they hadn't actually ratified it. So, but my point is, I'm just glad that you're doing the show so yeah. people don't have to go through, you know, what I went through. Because like I said, I ended up losing the house. I did everything I could. I wrote a brief to the Court of Appeals, and they completely ignored me. But I'm just glad that somebody can get the help, which I didn't get.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you,
Lynn. I appreciate it. Yeah, she got there too late. I mean, which goes back to the original point. And I don't want to miss this. And this is why we've had so many questions. And I don't want to miss this main point. What is the first thing that you need to do while you are of a sound mind, whether you're 18, 38, 48, or what have you, to prevent situations like Lynn's cousin or Angela or anything else? What's the first thing that you need to do?
First of all, we need to communicate with the family.
Okay.
Let them know what your wishes are. Put it in writing, make it legal, and if you're going to file it in the registered wills office, let them know, I have a will, it's filed in the office. It's not mandatory to do so, but it's a good thing to do. It's a good investment for $5. Mm-hmm. But we don't communicate enough. You know, we're so secretive. We don't want the family to know this. We don't want them to know that. But guess what? When you pass away, it all comes out. So
should
at least let someone know.
Should you, if you have a will, should you give the executor that is written in the will, you don't want them to be surprised, should they get a copy of it?
That's a good question. We filed the original. You can make as many copies as you like. I always tell people, you know, let them know you have one. You don't have to tell them what's in it. It's good to let the executor know, hey, I want you to be the executor of my estate if something happens. And if something happens, my will is at the registered wills office, or my will is in the bedroom in the top drawer. You know how we are. You know, we have our places in the home. They don't need to know what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, but they don't need to know. Let them be surprised in some cases.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there's been a lot of that.
Well, you know, one thing additional, and I want to make sure we don't leave this out. We're talking about wills, but for some people, you need to have a trust.
What's the difference?
The trust covers so many, and I'm not an attorney, so I don't want to go too far out there, but I know that the trust covers a lot. Like in my case, I have a disabled son. I need to have a trust so that mm-hmm. I am sure that I'm making decisions now as to who will care for my son when my husband and I are no longer here. So there's so many cases. A trust even covers people that have multiple properties,
mm-hmm.
multiple bank accounts, because with the will, it can be contested. Am
mm-hmm.
I right?
Mm-hmm.
So with the trust, this is what you say what you want, and that's what happens.
So go ahead.
A trust is a good way of designating from the grave how you want your money, when, and how distributed.
So why can't you just put that in the will?
Doesn't work that way. Say for good question. Because the will can say, okay, I want Johnny to receive $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on who that executor is and depending on Johnny's age, he might get that all at one time. But in a trust, you can say, I want Johnny to receive $10,000 when he turns 18, if he goes to college.
So
if he doesn't go to college.
Well, that's what I mean. Why can't you have those kinds of details in a will? Why do you need to have a trust?
You can have it. Doesn't mean it's going to be carried out. It's going to happen. A trust has a trustee who's responsible for filing your wishes, how you want it.
But doesn't a will have an executor?
Yes.
So again, I don't understand. Help me with this. If I have a will that says Johnny's going to get $20,000,
mm-hmm.
I can't say in the will that he's going to get $5,000.
You can say that. And
but,
depends on who
but
your
they may
executor
not carry
is.
It out.
They may not carry it out that way.
So how do I know that the trustee will do that?
You're hoping that you would trust the person that you're putting in charge to be the trustee.
And it
doesn't have to be a family member. It can be someone that you trust. This can be an attorney.
Right.
Or it can be your pastor, your church member.
Okay. I'm still unclear about the difference. Because it sounds like these are just two documents, like like I think Connie said, two documents I got to pay for. But if I have Sarita as the executor of my estate, but I have Rhonda as the trustee of my trust, why would Rhonda, do trusts legally supersede wills?
Doesn't supersede, but a will would reference the trust.
Mm-hmm.
The will would say, well, I have a trust. My home is in the trust. Or,
but I can't put the home in the will.
They can. But $50,000 could be in the trust, and $50,000 may not actually go to Janelle. Say, for example, you had the trust, which may cost you $2,000 to do, whereas the will might be $500 to do. The trustee is going to be in charge and carry everything out at the time frame. That will, if you say $5,000, Janelle might be tired and say, well, you know, I'm just going to give Johnny this $5,000 now and I won't have to be bothered. The trustee is going to give it at the allotments that you are designating.
Okay. Forgive me. That doesn't make sense to me because, like I said before, I'm still trying to figure out why is a trust more important than the will? And the reason I ask that is because I don't have a trust, but my will is very specific. You mentioned my watch. Who gets it? Mm-hmm. It's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Why do I have to put who gets my watch in the trust?
You don't have to. Everything's not necessarily in the trust. Some things in the trust, the properties could be in the trust.
Are there some things that you can't put in a will that you can in a trust?
Well, you can put everything in the will, but specific things are in the trust. Say, for example, just the home and the property is in the trust, and the watches and everything else could be in the will. So you can have both.
Hmm. Okay. where there's a will, there may
there's
not
a
be
way.
A way. There may not be a way.
But
it doesn't sound like that. Let me go to Jason. Jason calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi. Good evening to your guests.
Good evening.
The question that I have is for your guests. Question about wills. My father passed away back in 1975, and he left a will saying that the house, the property that he had in D.C. would be turned over to five siblings, after he passes. And the five siblings were to take the property and divide it up equally among all five of the siblings. The problem is we got two siblings living in the property, and four of the siblings are willing to sell, but that fifth one does not want to sell. Question, is there any way that you can forcibly have that, sell that property, without the consent of that fifth person?
Everybody has a consent.
So what does that mean?
What does that mean?
If the home was left to all siblings equally, then either you buy that person out or that person says, you know, I don't want to be bought out, then I would say you need to talk to an attorney to solve this because it seems like this has been going on for several years and you still haven't resolved it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and because if there are five people who have equal parts,
mm-hmm,
right,
of the home,
mm-hmm,
and whether it's 2-3 or 1-4 or 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody has to be on the same page.
Yeah.
Everybody
right.
has to agree.
But according to the will, the property was to be disposed of and everyone was to share an equal share in the profits of that property.
So why didn't that happen?
Well, I don't know.
And this was in D.C.?
They won't move. So, you know, the problem now is that what do we do now? What do we do as the other siblings? What can we do legally?
It sounds like you all need to get an attorney, mm-hmm, and go before the court because that sounds like one of the hot messes that we deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say get an attorney and take it to court. And let the court system work it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you go about doing that? Are there certain you go someplace down at the Superior Court in the District of Columbia? Do they have that so that you could fill out certain forms and whatnot? How would you go about doing that?
The D.C. Register of Wills has a helpline or a help desk certain days of the week. I would call that main number to see what sort of help you can get from them to start.
Yeah. And it also sounds like that this is this will require a negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like to me. So, Jason, good luck to you. Thank you,
Thank you.
Much. Gary calling from Fort Washington, what's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
I'm surprised I got in. Just one quick question. I have had a beneficiary ever since I was like 20, you know, since I've been working as a kid, a young adult, and me, of course, me and my wife got married. We have beneficiaries. My thing is, the question is, if you have a beneficiary, do you necessarily have to have a will too? Or is one is okay?
Are you talking about bank accounts and the like?
Yeah.
A beneficiary for bank accounts?
Bank accounts, insurance policies, IRAs, CDs.
Everything I have beneficiaries split amongst my wife and my siblings.
Okay, but do you have that in writing somewhere? So, like, on your insurance policy, you probably have a beneficiary, and that's good.
Yes.
But do you have a will to show who your beneficiary is for anything else that you have?
That's what I'm getting confused at. Okay, I have a beneficiary in writing, all the names as far as that, but I don't have a will. Do I have to have both?
Well, the beneficiary is just who you want to give your property to, your belongings to.
So what? It sounds to me like he needs something all in one place.
Yeah.
So, Gary, is this Gary?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. Do you own a home and a vehicle?
Yes, I have a home, vehicle, yes.
Okay. Now, that's two separate things. Beneficiary on your bank accounts or insurance policy is fine.
Okay.
But what about your home? You don't have a beneficiary designated on that.
Well, well, me and the wife, we have, both our names on the house.
Okay, but if something happens to both of you...
That was my next question.
Okay. Then that's why you need to put something in the will, as to the other caller was saying, you know, dad left the home to five of them. So who do you want to inherit that home? So you do need to put something in writing as far as the home is concerned.
So you're saying if something was to happen to both of us at the same time, the house wouldn't just automatically go to the siblings?
No, sir.
Wow.
No.
Okay. So, Gary, you need to get a will, see an attorney, get a will, and figure out who you want to give your belongings to.
Okay.
Get it in writing.
And he definitely has to have everything in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Because isn't there a risk, you know, particularly in this day and age, and I would say 30 years ago, most people had one or two bank accounts. That's kind of it. But now you've got bank accounts, you have investment accounts,
mm-hmm.
you have credit union accounts, you have virtual accounts. People have money all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know where it is, and if one institution does not know that you've died,
mm-hmm. right,
then your family, then, you know, your millions that you have, Gary, will sit there.
Will become unclaimed property for years, and then all of a sudden they realize, oh, he had money there.
Yeah.
I know you said millions. I wish it was.
Well, that you can share with all of us.
Well, that's right. Wishful thinking for you, Gary. Thank you so much. Keisha, calling from D.C. Keisha, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Put you on to make a reference that it's a big difference, even though we're kind of kissing jurisdictions, it's a big difference between the laws and the rules for D.C. versus Maryland versus Virginia. And I know Ms. Lee has given the information for Maryland, but all of that doesn't apply to D.C. Like, in D.C., you can't walk your own will in before death and file it.
That's true.
So just wanted to bring that up. And then I wanted to talk about I think the lady's name was Angela. I don't know if we ever heard her question, because I think her question wasn't toward what the will says, but her question was, what happens when the person you're doing the business with, the mortgage company, because her, she was going to be with her mom, but the mortgage company was her concern whether or not they wanted to continue to do business with her, then as though her mom had died. And even though she's on that deed, the house isn't paid for, so the mortgage company may not want to do business with her. And I believe that was her question.
That's true. That was her question. And each mortgage company is different. And as I said earlier, she might have to apply like she was starting from the beginning herself. Depends on
right,
the mortgage company.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely correct. Each state is different as far as the rules are concerned. And you're right. D.C. does not file the will beforehand.
Yeah. Well, Keisha, thank you so much for your input. I appreciate it. I only have a few minutes left. And this is just such an extremely complex issue. And a few minutes ago, I was saying, you know, what are the, you know, some of the first steps. Talk to me, Rhonda, briefly about some things that you absolutely should do right away.
Okay, so we've been talking about the will, and yes, there is a lot more than that. You really, as Sarita said, you need to be engaged in conversation with your family, even down to what it is you want, what your wishes are. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be buried? Do you want to be cremated? Things like that people just do not talk about. And I had a situation where a young man told his wife, I want to be cremated. The wife said, okay, I'll do that, but you need to put it in writing because your mom's not going to be upset with me. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't put it in writing. And the wife wanted to carry out his wishes. The mom said, I'd never speak to you again. So those are things that mm-hmm. when I talk about the hot messes, if you take care of all of your business of dying while you're living, then you can focus on living. And so things like, as I said, your wishes and your desires, what type of funeral you want, whether you want to be cremated or buried, whatever your belongings are, who you want to have them, every wish and desire that you have, whether you want to be buried back home or whether you want to be buried in the DMV, just anything that has to do with your wishes, you need to document that now. Talk to your family about it. So that everyone will be with one accord. I created a book called My Exit Plan. In addition to that book, I have a workbook. And in that workbook, you can actually list whether you want your glasses on, whether you want to be in a casket, anything that you want, you can put it in that book, share it with your family, and then they will know that this is what you want.
And there should be some times when you need to update your wills and your trusts during stages of life, such as divorce,
more children.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, mm-hmm. because a lot of people get divorced, but guess what? They forget to change the beneficiary. They forget to change the beneficiary with VA if they were in the military. They forget to change the beneficiary on their life insurance. And not only that, we have situations where this young man divorced his wife, he remarried, but guess what? He did not take the first wife's name off of the deed to the house. So now the new wife is thinking, okay, I have this big pretty house I'm going to live in, but the first wife comes and says, see you, baby, this is my house, you got to move.
No.
So you don't want that to happen to you. This is why we're talking about this today. Get your exit plan, get your affairs in order, take care of all of that now so that your family will know what you want and what you have.
I'll let you have a last word, Sarita.
I want to piggyback off what Rhonda just said. Maryland does not recognize common law. DC does.
That's right.
So, you know, I say, Beyonce says, put a ring on it. Miss Lee says, put your name on it. And I would end with, if you want someone to have an asset of yours, put it in writing, make it legal, and communicate with your family.
Interesting. Well, I guess we know what the title of Rhonda's next book will be, How to Avoid a Hot Mess.
That's right.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking to us about this really critical issue. And certainly, as always, this information will be posted on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30. Rhonda Lee and Rhonda Green and Sarita Lee, thank you both for coming in. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you very much.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Thursday, November 7th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.